What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Joseph Dunham. You're here with us on the Good Service Podcast, season two, numero dos. it's ripping, it's running, it's rolling, right? Very excited for today's conversation. Not just the organization that we're speaking with, but the man behind the organization that we're speaking with. I'll get into the fun stuff and the story of how we met in just a moment. I do want to give a quick shout out, shameless plug to our sponsors over at Cozy Brand, Life As It Should Feel, as you see, so, lifestyle brand that is sponsoring and partnering us for our second season here at the Good Service. So very grateful for our friends over at Cozy, but even more grateful for the individual that you see on the other side of the screen here. So without further ado, let me go ahead and just intro this man. The people know him as Dre, and the people of Atlanta, that is. He is the founder and CEO of Persevering Through Purpose. Andre Henry, round of applause, my brother.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Welcome to the Good Service.
What up, man? I'm glad to be here.
Man, so glad to have you here. So glad to have you here. You know, it's a special time, right?
It is to
be on the airwaves and just to be speaking with everybody. And those of you who are here for the first time, my excitement got ahead of me. Let me real quickly just share with you who we are, right? We're the Good Service Podcast. Our mission and vision is to create a space where wholesome, inspiring stories of individuals within their community that are making a better place, right? We're inundated with negativity. You open up your cell phone, it's Facebook, Instagram, X, once Twitter, right? It's hate crime, war, bombing. There's no good news. There's no wholesome news in man. And so our mission here at the Good Service is to create that space and community where we're uplifting one another for the work and good services that are happening all across the world, not just here in the United States. So very excited to have you, Andre, and to speak on Persevering Through Purpose. But
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Real quickly, man, tell the people, how you feeling? What's going on with you?
Ah, man, it feels good to be here. Today in itself was crazy and hectic with my full-time job meetings, but it feels good to be alive, man, to be in the number, to be present and to have a voice to be able to tell my story and to have hands and feet to do the good work that God called me to do. So,
I know that's right, man. That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, let's get into it. I appreciate you sharing with us how you're feeling today. That means a lot to me. I'm glad. I woke up, my feet touched the ground. You know, we got straight to it. Especially this is my Super Bowl for today, so I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah,
we got it on the schedule, but when Wednesday hit, I was like, oh, I mean, you got the text this morning.
I was like, man, whatever I do, I got to get on this call. I was feeling a little tired. It was a lot going on, but I was like, I can't miss it. Proud to be here. I was like, man, my brother, man, he got me on a podcast. What? Okay. I'm coming.
No, we're happy to have you. So those of you listening for the first time, well, first off, those of you that continue to come back, support us, subscribe, follow, repost, all the things. We're grateful for you. But especially those who are here for the first time, I'm going to share just a background, how Dre and I got connected and what led us to this point. And then we'll dive into the fun stuff around his organization, Persevering Through Purpose, and the work that they do here in the great city of Atlanta. So with that, how Dre and I met, big shout out to Nick Bell.
Nick, man, shout out to you.
Big shout out to Nick Bell, man.
Shouts out.
Yeah, so Nick was a great friend of mine, a brother of mine as well. And you know, I'd say Dre would say the same too. He had a little pool, you know, get together for his birthday. Mm-hmm. Early spring of 23. And so we were playing spades.
Yep.
Was at the table. I feel like, you know, everyone kind of knew who each other was, and I'm the new cat at the table. So we just got to talking.
But actually, I was actually a new cat. So the only person I knew was Bree, because I met Nick through Bree. And then, then Nick, of course, because he'd been around a couple times and he worked at the stadium, but I didn't know anyone else either. So that was kind of crazy. So, yeah, we was in the same boat.
So he was a new cat. I didn't know that. I thought initially you had known, you know, the group. So, okay, bet.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
So we was on the spades table having a nice little Sunday afternoon. And everyone, you know, we were just talking about interests and hobbies. And Dre had mentioned that he's, you know, a CEO and founder of a nonprofit. And I was like, I am as well. I'm a co-founder. I'm working with Asante Hill, who's you know, the chief executive and founder of Black Men and Women of Valor, my brother, in a lot of ways. And so I was like, if you ever need volunteers, let me know. Mm-hmm. Right. And we got connected via IG. You posted about your event.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I hit you up in the DMs. I'm like, bro, what's up? And
yeah.
The rest was history, you know, and like you have a volunteer for life for as long as I'm living in
Atlanta. Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Listen, I appreciate it because it was once upon a time I didn't have any and I was doing a lot by myself, but we'll get into that later on.
No doubt. So I'm sure you are wondering who Persevering Through Purpose is and what they do. At Persevering Through Purpose, they're driven by a single goal, to be persistent in the outreach to change lives for the betterment of people and trying circumstances. They strive to build productive relationships and make a long-lasting impact with all of their pursuits through a lot of the different avenues that they do serve in the community. Their mission at Persevering Through Purpose is to provide service surrounding communities, where that can be resources of support, empowering them, uplifting them, advancing them in a lot of different ways, personal, professional, you name it, feeding them, and helping heal individuals every step of that journey. Their vision is to further advance communities locally and nationally, not just here in Atlanta. Yes, nationally, East Coast to West Coast, by partnerships, through the heart of service while positively impacting all of mankind. So, Dre, again, like, I love what y'all do. I've been there, you know, hands on, boots on the ground with you. I gotta give you your flowers, man. I commend you, brother, for not just what you do, but how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm excited to, of course, I did my due diligence, read up on some things. We've had a few conversations, but I'm excited to learn some new things about you that I didn't necessarily know from past conversations, and also for you to share that with the world.
Right? Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Because this is what this is about, is, you know, allowing you to share the story, get it out there, because you never know who's listening, right? Yep. You may touch somebody's heart, touch somebody's pocket, or someone may say, hey, you know, Joe D, how can I get involved? Though I live in this city or this state, this touched me, right? So I'm excited to you know, have this platform and to give you this time and this space. So with
Thank
that,
you,
my brother, let's start with, let's take it way back. Let's take it way back. Where does the story of Dre Hunter, Dre Henry start?
Oh, man, Dre Henry, where do I start? So Andre Henry. So I was born and raised, we go back from the very beginning, born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, at Crawford Long Hospital, and that was actually raised on the south side, which is like Clayton County, Riverdale. You know, everybody used to bring a Waka Flocka, that's where he's from. So he shout us out quite a bit in songs, so we used to get that a lot. But Riverdale, man, been there all of my life. And through there, just matriculate through life and went through different experiences. I am the oldest of five siblings, two of which is a stepbrother and stepsister, but we was raised in a house together all of, you know, our teenage or early childhood lives for about 10 to 12 years. And then my youngest sister, she just turned 17. And then my baby brother, who would have been 20, actually died at 3 days old, which was a traumatic experience in itself. And so me being this oldest sibling, I always had to carry, I always had to lead, I always had to be the example to a lot. And I think early on in my childhood, it kind of instilled those leadership qualities in me to build me up to where I'm at today and with my nonprofit organization. So that's a little bit about me. And then after that, after childhood, I did go to the Insinkable Albany State University, which is down in South Georgia. I got a 4-year bachelor's degree in business administration. I did start my master's for a little bit, but then I got a little sidetracked when I moved back here. So I only did it for like a year, which was supply chain logistics. And I said I was going to go back, but I don't think I'm doing it no more because these student loans are crazy. And Biden, I don't know what they're doing, but mine's ain't been forgiven. So
I am crying.
We're just going to leave it. We're going to leave that where it is. I can't be in no more debt.
Oh man, Grandpa Joe, that promise.
Yeah.
With
listen,
you got the people hot for a lot of reasons, but yeah, this one, sure,
top yeah, three. For sure. We thought it was gonna happen.
Goodness. Oh man, well, no, I appreciate you sharing us a little bit around your personal life, and I didn't know you were the oldest of five.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that's, you know, my mom's side of the family, I'm the second oldest of five, though I've always been the leader. Right, my older brother and I have a great relationship and a great rapport. It's always been like, you're the one that, you know, mobilizes us, right? That keeps us, you know, uplifted and together. So I feel you on that for sure. Right. I most definitely feel you on that. And blended families are dope. Family's family, end of the day. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's all love till till the clock stops ticking. So with that, I appreciate you sharing. What about
no problem.
You know, but talk to us about the idea of persevering through purpose and how you, the idea of how it started, where we're at today, and how you got to where you're at today, right? Because, again, I know some things, but I don't want to spoil for everybody, but, you know, how did you come up with persevering through purpose?
Wow. So I had to kind of like sit on this for a minute to really think back, and it actually, just I'm starting with the service aspect. It started back in high school, maybe my 10th grade year of high school. So I think that was 2008. I had joined this organization called Gentlemen Equality. Our person in charge at the time, Dr. Jamel Jenkins, he started the organization. GQ100 is what we called it. And what it was, 100 black men organization, young men, and he will take us on like college tours and do community give backs and just all type of stuff of good characteristics for what he felt was a black man should, you know, supposed to do and lead by example. And then through that, one of the organizations that we did around Thanksgiving was called Fill the Basket. Fill the Basket was geared towards battered women and children. And that was a huge thing. Like out of all the community events that we did, that was the biggest one. Well, at the time, that kind of stuck with me because a lot of people didn't know that I grew up in an abusive household. My mom was married to my stepfather, and we kind of experienced that for years. And so when that event came about, it always stuck with me. So we did it, of course, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. After I left, graduated, and went to Albany State. My freshman year, I didn't do nothing with it, but then starting my sophomore year of college, I picked it back up for myself. I did it myself down in Albany, Fill the Basket, where I started what we do is collect non-perishable items for battered women and children and donate it off to a shelter. So the list was long. I mean, from canned good, all type of canned goods, canned greens, canned corn, cornbread, potatoes, hams, turkeys, dressing, anything that you could think of. And it was pretty dope. So that was something I kind of did throughout college and along with other community activities, visiting nursing homes. It was always in my heart to give back. And so once I graduated college and came back home, I think that was probably when I finally moved back home, was 2017. I was doing the Fill the Basket every year, but I wasn't doing nothing more than that because I was trying to get situated with a nice job and trying to figure things out after college. Then 2020 came, and that's when COVID hit. And during that time, it was one particular shelter that I donate to called the Securus House. It's a domestic violence shelter that covers women and children in Clayton County, where I'm from. So I always wanted to get back to my own stomping ground. So I partnered with them for years. And during the year of COVID, they had reached out to me and said that a lot of donations, they were down on donations during COVID. And not only them, but I started hearing from a lot of other shelters asking, are you able to assist or do you have this and a third? Because we really need assistance. Well, people fail to realize, before it was a nonprofit organization, a lot of stuff I was doing was coming out of my own pocket. I wasn't rich by far, and I'm still not. So I will always have to sit aside money and, you know, put a decent amount because I never want to come half stepping with anything that I do. I always want to be top dog. So it got to be right, and it got to be a lot, and it got to make sense to me as well. So I used to kind of do that quite a bit. So when COVID came, 2020, I was still doing what I was doing give back clothing drives all nine. And that God had laid on my heart, I think it had popped up in a dream, if I'm not mistaken, that I was going to have a nonprofit organization or to start my own nonprofit organization. Now, You know, I don't come. I mean, my family, we don't, but a lot of people, they not really business owners or really had nonprofit organizations, anything like that. So
Right.
I'm not coming from somebody that can show me the ropes. I'm starting this all by myself, almost like I'm breaking generational curses. And so I didn't know where to start, didn't know how to get started. I had to get on Google, start researching things, and
I'm gonna
then
challenge you on something real quick. Challenge you on something real quick. Not necessarily generational curses, generational patterns.
Patterns. Yeah, I like that.
Patterns.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And that makes sense. And
Because
so,
you broke the pattern. Businessman, CEO, founder. Right? So
And to that point, I mean, because my grandma used to give back all the time, and seeing her and then my mom's and aunts, but again, they never took that extra step. It was just something they would do, or we'd just see them give, homeless people dollars on the street or something like that. So again, I like that, breaking generational patterns. So with that, I think I ended up talking to my first lady and pastor of my church, Rema Win Ministries, and was just letting them know what I wanted to do. And they connected me with another young lady by the name of Janae, who was at the church at the time, who will help people start nonprofits and businesses. That was what she does, which was perfect.
Look
And
at
so
God.
she, it worked out, I mean, perfectly. She got me set up. I think we filed in maybe September of 2020. But it didn't become official till 2021 because the process to get to become a 501c3 is crazy in itself. And I can't remember all the details, but I remember it was like little stuff that I kept missing that they had to keep sending back to me as they was denying me from having a 501c3 because certain information was missing, or I documented information in a certain article and it was supposed to go to a different article, and it was a lot. So that was a 5-month process in itself, and I almost gave up because I'm like, Lord, listen, this is too much, taking too much of my time. I already got enough on my plate, and the expenses, it was a lot to me. Because the LLC, I think I only paid like 150 because I have an LLC as well, but my nonprofit was a couple hundreds from what I remember, and then on top of the additional fees. So I'm like, I didn't know if this was for me, but it ended up working out and becoming official February of 2021. And so it took me a minute as well to think of a name because I'm like, okay, God, what kind of name? I'm bad when it comes to names in general. So I was praying about it. I was fasting. I'm like, God, I need something because I'm really trying to get this going. Because I really wanted to get it started before my November field of basket. But it didn't work out that way. But I started to think about my life and everything that I went through, and how I always overcame. And that is similar to the definition of to persevere, which is to continue in a course of action while facing, difficult situations. And so I always felt like I was that individual that I always persevered through everything, even when I went through an abusive household, when I went through struggles, or when I was in college and went through it even worse, because when I got to college, I only got dropped off with $20 in my pocket, and that was it. Like my family, my mom was going through it really bad with the divorce. My grandma really didn't have it like that. I had $20 in my name. I got dropped off at campus. I had to figure everything out. So it was a lot that I had to just learn and grow and do and just fend for myself, and make things happen. And so when I looked at that and look at the women and children that's fighting in shelters and the homeless people, because they're not all bad people. Especially if you get a time to, listen to their stories, we're all trying to persevere. We all, a majority of us have that heart and know what God has called us to do, or we want to get in alignment with Him and do what is right. But we always get faced with adversity and challenges and difficult situations that always tend to set us back. But I'm one of the ones, I'm always come out on top. So I'm always persevere. And it hit me, persevering through purpose, because it's a fight that never ends. So we're gonna keep it going, gonna keep fighting through this purpose, because the purpose is already given to us. So I mean, hey, just keep walking this thing on out and make it happen.
Man, that's, no, I appreciate the full backstory, right? Like the in-depth, from the $20 in your pocket to your family, right? And the generational patterns that you broke, because it sounds like, you've always had a propensity and the capacity to serve, right? And the want to serve, and seeing your family do that, but wanting to take it that next level, right? Like that speaks to your character and who you are as a leader, who you've been since day one as a leader, right? So, nah, man, And I didn't know that's how you came up with the name Persevering Through Purpose.
Yeah, man.
It's I mean, come on, it's fire.
Yeah,
I know you heard me yelling PTP.
Yeah, And at first I was hesitant because I was like, dang, this is kind of a long name, but it just aligned with everything in my life and everything I had going. And then, I mean, God kind of gave it to me too, because I was praying about it. Like, I need a name, and it got to make sense. And again, it got to align with who I am. So
that's what was that moment like for you when it became so clear, right? Because like for me, for example, the Good Service podcast, right? Like I was probably a year and a half in with, you know, Black Men and Women of Valor. And that was a shared vision with Asante, you know, the majority, but we both knew we wanted to serve and be mentors within our community for young Black and brown boys and girls, men and women, obviously. And so I was thinking about, hey, how do I continue to serve? What does that look like?
Yeah.
And had my conversations with them.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
it was the most like, I don't know who, it was so clear. He's like, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
So how was that for you? Cause I didn't have a whole lot of the back and forth on, it should be this thing. Mm-hmm. It was for me, thankfully. And gratefully, it was just an immediate thing. Like, boom, this makes so much sense, right? But I'd love to hear what your experience was like.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was in reference to the name or just in general with the organization is what you're asking.
Oh, no, just like that moment of clarity. Like, when did it, after going through and thinking the names, like,
what was that moment? I was grateful because I'm, as a Virgo, we always get that we perfectionists, and I'm very visionary, and it, again, I have to see it before it happens. Sometimes I can be impulsive, but I have to know that, okay, once I get something like this, then I can see 6 years down the road of what it's going to be. And so when I had Persevering Through Purpose, it was almost like the road to success to me, or the road to elevation, and I knew it was going to be a journey. And so when it hit me, I might have woken up at, I know it was like wee hours in the morning, probably at like 4 a.m. And I was like, dang, God, that makes sense. And so as soon as it laid on my heart, I got up and wrote it down in the journal so I wouldn't forget it. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is it. And I kept saying to myself the next day while I was driving, persevering through purpose. Because maybe I might have had something else. I had persevering through, can't remember what the other word was. And I think I had talked to my best friend at the time. And I was like, look, I got this. Persevering got to be in there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, through or whatever, and then I think we end up the last piece, and we end up shaping it. Not my best friend, this girl I used to date, actually, and so it ended up coming together. I think she ended up helping me one night, and when we said it and together, and I was like, persevering through purpose, it just aligned with both of us. We both just lit up, like, yeah, that's fine, like that's what it's gonna be. Yep. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's so fire.
So, yeah.
I love it. Okay, question about the logo.
Yep.
Right, because it's boxing gloves. So are you from a boxing background? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I forgot to speak about the logo. I'm glad you asked. So no, I'm not I can get out there, but I'm not a professional boxer or anything. But with the logo, that was part of the name too. So when I was laying there, when we were talking about persevering through purpose, and again, it's you're in a fight to me, because it's in the course of action that you go through difficulties, or how do you overcome difficulties and adversity? You fight your way through it 9 times out of 10, whether you fight through prayer or sometimes physically or mentally or whatever the case may be. I knew that this was going to be the fight to make all things right. And that was the motto I used to always say when I would go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think I got on my website. That was the motto I had, to fight to make all things right. And the heart was so pivotal to me, because I always had a heart of gold. That was always a compliment so many people used to give me, because I was always hesitant about starting this organization because I was never typed to advertise it, right? I would just always do things for people. And unless you was in my personal circle, you would never know. And then when the whole nonprofit thing, well, I was like, damn, I don't want to be those people that have to keep posting photos or videos, because it could come off wrong, or you just trying to do this to, you know, kind of showboat. And I didn't want to deflect from the purpose that I knew was tied to this. So I knew I had a heart of gold, and I used to always hit it all the time. So I was like, I gotta have a heart, because that again, it's simple, it exemplifies me. And then the fight to make all things right. So the boxing gloves and the gold heart came hand to hand. And I was like, dang, this is dope. And a guy on Instagram, I don't even know who he is, to be honest. Because like I said, God was really helping me with all of this. And I was Googling somebody that could do logos. I was asking people. And somehow, I think, yeah, you know, iPhone's so dang on smart. Ended up popping up on my social media of a guy that was doing logos. So I reached out to him. I said, I let him know what the name was. I see boxing gloves and I see a heart of gold. I don't know how we're going to put it together, but we need to make it happen. And so he did, and he did. We did a nice video of promotion for it, and I liked it once it came together. It was dope. Again, it looked like what I saw in my vision. And so that's how the boxing gloves and the heart came about, man. The fight to make all things right. So.
That is so incredible, man.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to highlight, right, and speak on is, you know, you walk with humility. You're an incredibly humble man, and that's one thing that I appreciate. I love seeing and people love about you, quite frankly, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's and that's a big part of where the good service comes, because I want to, you know, going to post. So as you're posting, repost, help you market and get the word out even more. But it's okay, man, because again, this isn't what's on the algorithm. You know, this isn't what's getting out there. The, you know, news isn't calling or you know, the newspaper. And it's like, so you got to kind of put it on yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not in the sense of, you know, you're not braggadocious or anything. You are doing this from the bottom of your heart because you want to make this a better place. So, I feel you on that because even times I'm like, man, like, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be an influencer. I never have, I never will be.
Yep.
Right? But that's not at all what this is. It's not at all what you do. You are instilling, you know, hope in mankind again, right?
Yep.
Restoring that with each event that you have. And so I want to encourage you to keep going and, you know, keep posting and
Thank
all
you.
The things, even when it's like, ah, this doesn't, you know, you have a team behind you that can help with that. But everything I've seen that you've ever put out has always been positive. It's always been clean. It's always been so professional. You're not alone in that. I want you to know you're not alone in that. So
Man. And believe it or not, I actually been praying for a team. So I actually do it all myself, even to this day. So I do all the social media, the posting, the whole nine. I do it all by myself, but I do have a foundation behind me. Again, my church family, when it comes to donations and assisting my mom, my sister, because my little sister used to get on, she used to say I got on her nerves. I used to get her out there to come and help me. But so I'm still praying on that piece, but it is coming together bit by bit. So, and I still have those faithful volunteers like yourself and the other people that came prior to you that always show up, always come, whatever it is, you know, no questions asked. And I'm extremely grateful for all of you all because, you know, y'all don't have to do it. It's volunteering. A lot of people don't like to do stuff for free anyway. But I see that a lot of people that help me, they have the same heart that I have and a willingness to give back. And like you were saying, to be humble. And I'm so appreciative of that because it's very hard to find in this day and age.
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. let's stay on that topic, right, of the golden heart,
mm-hmm.
right? Growing up, who had that golden heart? For you?
I would say my grandmother. She was the matriarch of the family, and it always started with her. When I went to go live with her, my first grade year, pretty much, my mom had to send me up there kindergarten, first grade, because of her work schedule here in Atlanta. And she, because my birthday was late, she wanted me to kind of start school early. So she had sent me up to Ohio, and my grandma used to always do stuff for the community.
Wait, tell me, Ohio, what part of, bro, stop.
Akron, Ohio. I went to Portage Path Elementary School in Akron, Ohio. Yeah, man. So
I have no idea, right? But like, what? I
mean, so actually,
Ohio's here, but, you know, Akron's
But we have family there. So it was actually, I'm the only one in my family born in Georgia. So my mom, everybody's from Akron, Ohio. We got family in Akron, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton. And when I say my grandma know everybody, it's crazy. And I think that's who I get it from. And so there, she used to always do things for people. I mean, bake pound cakes and candy apples, or if somebody needed something, she always was there to do it with no questions asked, or prayer, or a hug, or it was just always that. And I think Well, I know she instilled it in us, and it definitely trickled down to me because now the same very thing I used to see her doing when I was a kid, I'm doing it on a larger scale. And then, of course, my mom and, just her having talks of, doing right by people, even when it's hard and always trying to give back when you have it because they'll always come back to you. I just took those things that I've learned, and I was actually raised by a lot of dope women, black women, to be honest. Because even outside of my aunt and my mom and my grandmother, when my mom moved down here to Atlanta, she was able to build a great friend, a friend base from high school to adulthood, who stepped in to become my aunts and my godmoms, and they have all been there since I've been a kid, and they're still the same friend group to this day. So I'm grateful for them, and that. Them pushing me. So just seeing all of those great women around me and having a heart to persevere because a lot of them went through, like I said, abuse or struggling situations or losing homes or having to raise, be a single parent, single mother, and doing what they do. They always came together and they always did what was right, I feel. They always led the way, led by example.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that with everybody, right? In this moment, crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if some way our people know each other back home in Ohio.
I'm telling you,
I
it's
wouldn't be
possible.
surprised in the slightest. I got plenty of family up in Cleveland. That's not too far from Akron. I wouldn't be surprised, but
Matt. Hey, I'm
just
telling
wow, such a small
you.
world. But also too, right? Just was raised by a single mom until, she was in an abusive relationship as well, and then was a single parent for a while and married my stepfather. And so I see you, right? And what that looks like to be raised by black women, strong, incredible, incredible, and just so resilient in a lot of ways, and just waking up every day to be like, hey, we're going to do this. We're not just going to survive. We're going to thrive, no matter how much we have or how little we have, right? And so I feel you in that, man. And there's a saying, it goes along the lines of men who are raised by like single parents, women have more compassion, right?
That's true.
And so it's like it's interesting to hear those sorts of things and the studies that are behind that, those sorts of facts and things. I mean, everyone has compassion, right? But I feel like, as I've grown older, I don't know about yourself, but I've always been emotional and empathetic. But as I've gotten older, the more work that we both do within the community, and just it's, our heart hurts for the world and for these people,
Yeah,
right?
it does. It does.
Regardless of
It
how they
does.
got there, right? It's they're there now, let me wash your feet.
And if this life didn't teach you nothing else, I've been at times where I was one bill away from I could have been on the streets, to be honest. And then the struggles of college, Lord Jesus, that was another different level of struggle because you're on your own, and it was just trying to figure out, and it was tough. And even in college, when I used to go and feed, I partnered with a church on Wednesdays at the church actually back in Albany, it's called Rema as well, and they used to do feed the homeless. And I used to be there assisting with the church feeding the homeless. And after the homeless got their first and second place, I would get in line and get a plate because I wouldn't have no food to eat. And I just knew then that God called me to something greater because a lot of people couldn't do that at all. And I'm sitting at home with nothing in my refrigerator. I mean, nothing, literally, probably my last pack of ramen noodles. And I'm here, still getting up to go feed the homeless who I'm not too far away from their situation, but I'm not as, they're in a worse situation than me. So I just felt the need to still remain present, still go show my face, pray for a couple of them, and just have hopes that it can always get better, no matter where you at. And that was my biggest thing, and it always resonated with me. Again, going back to the heart of gold, just want to see people win, and knowing that the situation that you're in don't define you. Talk to a lot of veterans, talk to a lot of people who made some major mistakes, got hooked on drugs, but want to do right. And they just need that extra help, that extra push, that extra encouragement. So I definitely align with whatever, everything that you said.
Man, beautiful, beautiful. So many gems, man. Just dropping bar at the bar. I could keep like going back and be like, let's talk about that, what you said. Let's talk about that part of what you said.
Yeah. I can go all night, man.
Yeah, same. One thing I wanna focus in on though is, you know, you talked about like being one bill away or one situation away from potentially being on the streets yourself, right? Like, what is that like to again, like, you know, I've definitely been there, right? Laid off from work. There's a lot going on. You know, I generational pattern breaker myself, right? And being the first to go to college. And so doing it by my, like, I don't know how to do these certain things, right? When I get to a certain point. So again, I see you, where you're at for sure. What's that feeling like when, early on, like you were talking about, hey, like I'm serving, but now I need to be served.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you're getting a plate yourself, very curious on if you're able to tap back into just that moment, like, man, like, cause you know, for me, it's, I just see it like how you saw it. I'm grateful, but like, I'm here for you.
So, like you said, I'm grateful, but I'm here for them. And that kind of, was another, I think, characteristic that is still in me with this persevering through purpose. Cause just seeing a lot and doing a lot, you know, a lot of people treat these people like the bottom of the barrel, and it's so bad. I mean, I've seen it all, even with workers of shelters, and they just get them anything. If it's clothes, they don't care how it look. They just be like, here, they need it. Or if it's food and it's the canned goods expired, here, they need it. I'm just like, man, no, these people still human. And so even when I started my nonprofit, I was big on that. Like, nothing against people who serve soups and spaghetti, but I'm like, man, if I was on the street, I mean, because you don't know everybody's situation. And everybody, you know, like I said, some mistakes that, you know, they really was genuine mistakes that got them out there. And I always said, if I was on the street, what would I want? And that's how I used to look at everything in my organization. So when it came to meals, that's why I'm so big on doing food. I mean, we do steaks, we do salmon, asparagus, macaroni and cheese, baked beans, collard greens, whatever it is. We do like full blown meals as if we was on the street. When it's clothes, I always ask for newly worn or gently used clothing. And I'm going back before I'm going to pass it to the homeless. I'm looking through those bags. I'm examining it myself to make sure everything is pretty decent. Canned goods, when we're giving it out, if it's expired, it's going in the trash. I don't care what the canned good look like. We're not about to treat these people like, you know, how they do. So I think that during those times of when I was without, I'm like, dang, God, like, I swear I could be over here with these people for real, because it had really got bad at times. And again, mind you, I think it was 11th grade year when my mom had just filed for the divorce of my stepfather. And when I was in college, you know, I'm the first generation of graduate out of my family for college. So that was the biggest thing for me to keep going. But back at home, they still going through it. My mom almost lost the house. Again, I wasn't getting sent no money because I got dropped off for $20. They didn't have it. I knew my mom was going through a divorce. It was too much that was going on. I was fending for myself. So I'm glad I connected with the church that I did. And I was able to end up getting a job. But it was a lot trying to juggle college and a full-time job. But, you know, I made it happen. And I just always looked to those people that I could be here tomorrow if God, you know, put me in that position. And I just want to make sure I continue to treat people the way I want to be treated. Like they always say, the same way that you treat the CEO of a company is the same way you need to treat the janitor, because you just never know how that letter may fall. So I just always been huge on that. No matter who you are, treat you right, man. Just treat you right. Try to make your day somehow, some way. And I've done that so many different times. I don't even talk about the amount of times and the biggest blessings that I've done for the less fortunate. Because again, I was always against posting stuff on social media. But I got some crazy stories, and I said, God, it was nobody but you for me to be able to do some of the things that I did. But I'm grateful, and I believe throughout my course of life, He has blessed me somehow, some way in return. So I continue to do that walk, do it with grace, dignity, and a heart of gold, man, to do it the right way. I want to show people it's a way to do it. It's a way to teach people. And even with my friends, when I first started that, started volunteering, you know, everybody don't have the same mindset as me, but it took a while, maybe for a person or two, to get adjusted, who was always, because when they be at the house with me, when I'm cooking and whatever, they're like, why you got to add this season, man? Just get frozen vegetables or just throw some salt and pepper in there. Why are you seasoning it up as if you're cooking for yourself? But I'm just like, again, it goes back to, I want to be treated the way I want them to feel, the way, you know, I would want to feel if I was on the street. And being consistent in that, people have come back up to me. I was like, nah, I get why you did what you did. And now I see the change in some people. Because sometimes when we do what we do, we see some of the same faces of homelessness. And they give their reactions or their stories like, man, because of y'all, this happened. I feel good. I look forward to y'all meals. I look forward when y'all come to give out stuff because we know there's an expectancy to it. It's not mild or mediocre. We're not just putting stuff together and just throwing it off to y'all like, here you go, because we know you need it. It's heart behind it. It's a goal and it's a purpose and it's a bigger vision that I even have for it all. And I don't want to get too ahead because I feel like I'm talking quite a bit, but yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that.
I mean, listen, we're here for you to talk.
Yeah,
and we're all here to listen. So, nah, man. Just of course, you said a few things there, and one is like the keep going, right? Mm-hmm. That phrase means so much to my life, right? Keep going, keep walking, keep going, keep your head high, right? Keep smiling, like you got it. It's gonna be all right, like. You'll figure it out. He's going to get you through. He's going to make a way for you because when has he not?
Yeah.
Right. So I feel you on that. And, you know, also too, just, you know, your ability to have the awareness on some of the people that were around in the early stages to question that. But then now they're just like, oh, I understand now. Right. So you're seeing it. It means more.
Right? Yeah. And
again, I've been able to see it. The first event you did, you had salmon.
You had
ham. I'm like, you're not playing. You're like,
I'm playing
all night. I'm like,
yeah.
This is, you know, the
closest. And we don't even get any of it. And that's what's even, I feel like make it better that we not even getting what we're giving y'all. And because a lot of my volunteers are like, dang, they eating better than me. But that's how I want them to feel, man. Because, you know, this might be their last resort or this might be the day they just want to give up because, again, they out here fending for themselves. And it's hard out there. It's hard out there. They out there in all type of conditions. So,
yeah, no, that's a beautiful thing, man. It's definitely a beautiful thing. What's your definition of good service?
Good service, man. It's to do it with an act of integrity. It's to be honest. Is to pave the way to give people another vision of what they never could see. Good service. I mean, that could correlate with every individual differently. But I feel like for me, good service, you have to lead. You have to know how to follow before you can lead. First and foremost, you have to know the needs of your people. You have to do it, like I said, with integrity, with honesty, with love, with a genuine heart, a genuine spirit. To be considered good service, man, and I believe it will always reflect with the impact that you leave in that person's life. By the end of that conversation, that hug, that gift that you give them, that will determine good service to me.
Yeah, no, I haven't for what we're a total maybe 10 episodes in, 11 episodes in. That's the first time I've gotten. A response around good service being what you just shared what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, of course, we get integrity, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's from your lens of what a good service is and what that means to you. And I think it's applicable to each organization, what good service means to them.
Right.
And, you know, you live that through your actions and things. And so real quickly, you know, before we move to the second, the next section of the conversation in the show here, just at a high level, right? Like, who are you serving? How often are you serving? What's that look like in terms of the demographic and the frequency in which you're providing your good service?
Yeah. So with this organization, again, the main piece of what got me started was to help battered women and children. That's how the Fill the Basket came about. And I just kind of carried it on. And so the bulk of that, I still partner with Secures House, which services Clayton County for battered women and children shelter. I service Atlanta Missions, which is another battered service shelter for women and children that's in downtown Atlanta. So I kind of check in with them to make sure where they up to date, if they need anything for, you know, whatever personal items that they may need. On a monthly basis, I do feedings for the homeless down at Woodruff Park. We kind of we used to go back and forth between Edgewood, the park at Edgewood, and Woodruff Park to do monthly feedings. So it's a month-to-month basis because, again, I am trying to still kind of grow my team. I do still feel like I do a lot with it, though. But I still have a full-time job and a personal life, and then trying to carry this on. So it could be a lot of my plate, but we do it on a monthly basis. So if anyone, you know, whenever people need volunteers for a community service house, people that's trying to do Greek life or for college or whatever the case may be, I always keep it going. Or even if I don't even have nothing on the schedule, that has happened before, that, hey, I'm trying to cross Delta, like someone that can, that's trying to be online for Delta. I need community service hours. Do you have any projects? Well, let's make some. Let's do it. I can do it. We can do a clothing drive, or we can schedule a feeding, or we can go, let's go visit shelters or nursing homes. Cause I'm always down to do it, you know, whenever. But to be consistent, I try to do something at least big once a month, to show that consistency for people who do have that time to want to come out and, you know, do what they do and help.
Yeah, no. Okay. I appreciate you letting everybody know, you know, where you're at, right. And, you know, how frequently you all have things going on within mm-hmm. the community. And again, it takes a lot of work. I know you're a one-man show right now. You have a solid base of volunteers, though, but yeah. I know you're looking to build yeah. a team. But, man, to be as consistent as you are, mm-hmm. not just within, of course, the main, I don't say main attraction, but the main thing being, yep. you know, the feedings and those sorts of things, but yeah. how versatile and open you are to other avenues of service as well. Yeah, so, and yeah. just collaborating with the youth around, hey, you yeah. want to get involved? What do you yeah. want to do? Right? Like, yeah. let me help you get that started.
Yep.
So that's special, man. And I didn't know that you were doing that. So again, yeah. I'm gonna give you your flowers. I'm gonna yeah, keep giving man. You your flowers.
Hey, man, thank you, hey, thank you.
Just keep that homes running. Just water
yeah,
them.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's tough to do at times because it's been times. I called my mom, like, I can't do this no more. I'm about to give up because it's too much. And then it takes a lot as well. But, you know, I know I got to keep pushing it because if God gave it to me, it's for a bigger purpose. He only give you bits and pieces. He don't give you the full vision all the way out. So I got to keep pushing to see where this thing go and who I'm able to impact and change lives. So.
Absolutely. PTP. Yeah. PTP. I was yelling. Yeah. I was putting bags together, y'all, and I'm going, PTP.
Yeah, man. And, yeah, I love it. I love it.
You know I'm a clown. I'm a fool for it. So everybody, for our first-time listeners, we're moving on to the second portion of the show, Mind, Body, and Soul. This is a rapid-fire question, sort of round, if you will. So a sentence, one-word answer. Usually, they're never just that, which is okay. It's just okay. Sometimes it's like, all right, boom, definitive. They know what they got to say. They're ready for it. But I'm excited. It's a knee-jerk reaction. So,
okay,
got a few questions prepared for you, Dre, around where this is at for mind, body, and soul.
Okay. You think my first word? You said
nah. Your first word. I will. You're a fashionable dude. You know, yeah. you got a great sense of style.
Yeah.
My man's got swag. So what's your favorite pair of Jordans?
So you know what? What's so funny? Me and my cousin get into it all the time because I'm not. What's so crazy? I got fashion, but I'm not a huge shoe junkie, is what I call them. Because don't ask me for a name of Jordans, a name of nothing. I'd be like, oh, I like that color. I like. Well, my little sister told me it's the 11s that I like. So I'm going to say the 11s. That's the only one I know. But the rest of them, I'd be like, what? What's the name of these shoes? Y'all know too much for me. I just like this color. I like that style. Just that's it.
Hey, that's all it needs to be.
Yeah,
color man. And
shine. Yep.
The 11s are classic.
The 11s, yeah.
They're
yeah.
one of my – actually have them on now.
Man, yeah.
The Gratitudes. I mean, what a better name for a shoe, right?
Jordan doing a thing, man.
I didn't know that you like you didn't care about because every time we've been around each other, I'm like, man, I'm not, okay, yeah. I see you.
I don't. I call them the shoe junkies because I had to call them. What's the name of these shoes? Because I don't. One of my line brothers actually sell. He do his thing with shoes. I always hit him up like, yo, what is this? Because I don't know. I know it's this color. I know it's Jordans or Nike or whatever it is. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. What is your favorite meal that you've ever made for an event?
Oh, for an event. Wow. I say, well, it had to be the most expensive one was the one I did steak, and we did both steak and salmon, asparagus, mashed potatoes, and a salad. And so with that, again, to this point, nothing, all this stuff is like bought and made from scratch pretty much. So like when I do mashed potatoes, it's not boxed. We getting a bag of potatoes, we peeling it, we making it, putting butter or ranch or whatever case may be from scratch. The steak, I get it. Well, now I get it in bulk because I used to buy it too expensive. But I get it in bulk and I take it to a butcher and they chop it up for me, go home, season it, whatever, 24 hours before I cook it the next day. So that was a lot, and I think that was huge. I think I might have did that around Valentine's Day when I first brought the organization. So we did both steak and salmon, and they loved it. I think it was one of the best ones, and they ran through it within 30 minutes, and I mean it was at least 150 people out there. So
Oh wow.
yeah,
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah,
yeah,
that's tough. That's
that was a big one. And then I and another volunteer actually partnered. She ended up bringing, she liked to do cakes, so she ended up bringing a strawberry cake, a lemon cake, pound cake, a white red velvet cake. So they had all type of desserts out there as well that they could choose from. It was
cake,
amazing.
cake, cake,
Yeah,
cake,
yeah,
cake,
yeah,
cake.
yeah. It was amazing, man. I think that was the best one. I think that was the best one.
Man, no, I love
Yeah.
that. That's super dope. All right,
Yeah.
what song is on repeat right now?
What song is on repeat right now? It's between, well, it's actually three, and it's so funny. But one is the Chris Brown song. It's called Angel Numbers, I think is what it's called. Angel Numbers, really dope. He just dropped the video for it. The other one, my cousin Deontay Hitchcock, he's a rapper in Atlanta. He has a song called Thinking About You. If you never heard it, look it up on YouTube. Thinking About You by Deontay Hitchcock, which is dope. It's been hitting me. And then lastly, maybe because it's a dang Instagram, that dang Made For Me by Money Long is so dope to me. I don't know. I think it's just, I don't know what it is. It just bring R&B back. But I mean, I love R&B anyway, but lately, at least this week, those three songs has been, I'm like, dang, why does this keep coming up? But whatever. So I just let it play and just ride out and just, sometimes I just ride in my car, just play R&B and just, listen to stuff. So, but yeah,
Man.
those three, Chris Brown, my cousin Deontay, and then that dang Mooney Long song. I don't know why that keep being on repeat, but hey, she did a thing, man. I love it. Hey, I love it.
That's, you go
Yeah.
viral in a matter of, minutes nowadays, right? The 15 minute
Yeah.
game is so,
Yeah. Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
I was just messing around and made a song, and then, it's on every, I'm not on TikTok, but it's on every TikTok and every
Yeah.
Instagram. You're
Yeah.
like, who is this? What?
Yeah,
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
on a commercial. You watch
Yeah.
the people, like, how is this on here?
Yeah. And I would be remiss. I'm sorry. And Rich Homie, man. I'm a Rich Homie Quan fan, and I all his stuff. So I always play him like when I'm going to the gym or something. I go to the gym every day about now, but yeah, so Rich Homie, I got the
I love
hum
it. I love it. No, that's too good. Yeah, music is medicine, man. Music is a very, very special
in there.
thing.
Yeah, it
Very,
is.
very special thing. So all right, cool. So, shoes are just color and style. We got, three songs on repeat right now, but
Yeah.
R&B's the,
Yeah, it's the top dog. Yeah.
where your heart is at.
Yeah.
The world, finish the sentence. The world would be a better place if.
If everyone had a heart of gold like me. I
Say that.
feel
Say that.
like if everyone had a heart like me, man, I try, I'm not arrogant by far, but I know I do things genuinely. I know I do things with intention, and I really have everyone's best intention at heart. Which is why I feel like if you come to, I don't know if you had a chance to come to my 30th birthday, but if you just come to things that I do, I always have a huge turnout, and I always used to get
I was out of
asked.
town for that. I was out of town
Yeah,
for
you
that.
were.
But
Okay, yeah.
I know
And
you
I,
was dancing. I
yeah,
know. But we be
that's
dancing. We be
another
dancing.
yes. And I always get asked why I have such a huge turnout. And I was like, man, I always treat people again the way I want to be treated. Everybody, not the closest of friends, but I think everybody see me and know like that's a good guy. And I always look at other people and try to find a good in them, even when they feel like they're not the best person that they could be. So I feel like if everyone had a heart like mine, man, it would be a great place.
I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, I
People
have.
like
I
I know for
have.
a
I get
fact.
reference with people in the Bible all the time, and yeah. Because again, it's just things that you have to be around me to see. Because I don't do it for show. I really do it with the purest of my heart, man. It's crazy. It's crazy when I reflect, and that's one of my biggest things that I give God praises about. Because even when I'm down and out, or when I'm going through a struggle, I'm like, let me just get up and do something for somebody today. Let me go bless somebody, because you know what? It could be, my situation could be worse, and I have done it, and God has put me in positions to do the unthinkable for people. And I'm like, God, how did I do that? And I want to share a story, but I'm gonna let you finish your questions and
share the story, bro. Share the story.
So one random time, and I got a lot of random times, but this one time I blessed this guy. I was on my way to work. I was going into the office at Midtown, my job, not too far from Atlantic Station. So getting off that exit to Atlantic Station, it was this guy. He had to be he's in his 20s, a white guy at that, that his car looked to be broken down. And he was on the side of the road. He was just sitting in his car. The car was off. But I was rushing to work. And I'm like, God, I can't. I got to get there because my director, we already had a big day. So that was like 8 in the morning. Around 12, I was craving a Publix sandwich from Atlantic Station. I go to Publix, and it's the same guy is sitting in his car. So I was like, dang, something must be going on. So I just went over there. I was like, hey, I pulled up. I was like, hey, man, you good? Like, you know what's going on? He's like, my car is broken down. He said, I'm actually traveling from Florida to get up north. And I'm like, oh, then I said, well, you don't have nobody? Like, you know what's going on? He's like, no, I don't have much family. I just went through it with my mom and my dad. This whole crazy story. And I was like, well, do you got something to eat? Cause he looked a little rough. And so he was like, nah. And I was like, cool. So I just went to Publix and I had went and bought him a sandwich and brought it back to him. I was like, man, just eat this. Hopefully everything, you know, work out. Go to work, sit at my desk. It was like 2-3 o'clock. He was just on my spirit heavily. And so I asked my director if I could step out of the office. And so I was like, let me just go see if this man still sit on this highway. So I drive and go. He's still sitting on the highway. I cannot remember his name, but it started with an A, I want to say, or A or S. And he was telling me that he was pretty much stranded. He was low on funds. He didn't expect this to happen. He just had enough gas money to get to where he was trying to go. So I was like, okay, well, where are you trying to go? He said he was going to Ohio. And I'm like, dang, that is so crazy. I said, Ohio, on the place. I said, man, I got family in Ohio. I got family in Ohio. So I'm up here. So I'm like, okay, we got to get you there. I don't know how we're going to do it. So I'm looking up Greyhound tickets, whatever case may be. I asked somebody's car situation. I'm like, if you could get home, do you got somebody to come get your car? Like, how's it going to go? He's like, was already on his last leg. He's just going to leave the car where it's at. Long story short, end up missing the rest of work. Didn't even realize it. Got him a Greyhound ticket. He didn't have a way, so I got him in my car, loaded up all his stuff, dropped him off at the Greyhound ticket. He didn't have enough money for bags, the excess clothes that he was coming, moving, I guess, leaving from Florida. Paid for extra baggage for the Greyhound, got him a ticket back home. He ended up adding me on Facebook, and I gave him a little extra cash in his pocket. Didn't think nothing of it. Get on Facebook later on, come to find out we only had one mutual friend, which is one of my little cousins in Ohio. They went to the same high school. And I'm like, what are the odds of this? And he had did this whole Facebook post, gave me this huge shout out. And I don't ask anything like that. And was just really thanking me. He was in tears. He was like, man, I need y'all to meet this person. This is a complete stranger. He didn't know me. He helped me get home. And that just really warmed my heart. Cause I'm like, that's what I feel like I was really put here on earth to do, to help people, you know, and make them to feel good and to believe in a God. Cause I did pray for him too. His belief wasn't as strong, you know, he wasn't too keen on God, really. I think from his life situations, and I just had to kind of, you know, share my experiences in my life of how good God is and was to me, and how I could get better for you. So that was big, man. I got a lot of different crazy stories like that, but that was one of the ones that always stuck with me.
Oh man, yeah, no, that's special, bro. Yeah, again, yep. That's a big part of why you do what you do, why persevering through purpose is as strong as it is, will continue to grow. And that vision is not only going to become clear, but you know, what you pray for is going to very soon be your reality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so our friend, Miss Arielle Lomax, as she likes to say, the platinum rule, it's not the golden rule. It's the platinum. Treat others better than what you want to be treated.
Yep.
And I was like, The first time I was like, "Whoa, that's I'm adopting that, trademark it,
and use it." And that's true. Moment.
And so, just man, again, and you do that, you exemplify that in all of the work that you do. So please keep going. And thank you for the story. That makes it more real than what it already is, right?
Yeah.
Last question. And then we'll head to before we go, which is, as it sounds, the end of the show. But what excites you about life?
The joy of my freedom, right? So when I wake up every day, I always thank God. Well, I thank God for a lot, but the three things I always thank him for is for the activity of my limbs, that I'm here not fighting for my life in a hospital bed, and that I'm not buried in my grave. Because I've been through a lot, car accidents, shootouts, all type of craziness in my life that has happened that could have put me in worse situations that I am, could have been in. And I just always thank God for the freedom of my life and knowing who he is. And the joy that comes with it, man, just I love my life. I'm able to, I do a lot of dope, great things, be in a room with a lot of great, talented people. And I always just try to have fun because life is short. You could be here today, gone tomorrow. You could be here today, and like I said, my cousin's got into an accident, be on bed rest. I mean, a lot of different things can happen. So just the joy of my freedom, man, that excites me to be able to wake up, jump up, say, thank you, Lord, go run, go for a jog, come back, sit, lay down, watch movies, whatever I want to do, and just enjoy life, man. The joy of my freedom. I love it.
No, I love it too, man. I love it too. So I appreciate you sharing that with us this evening as well. So that was it for Mind, Body, and Soul, your rapid fire. You know, what a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. One of Dre's random, crazy. We're going to have you back for a whole Dre story.
I got many stories.
By that time, we should probably get like a little caricature person and like do a little animation.
That'd be dope.
That'd be fire. Pin that.
I will.
But yeah, before we go, as you all know, that have continued to come back in our loyal community, we thank you so much. For our first time listeners, this is the closing portion of the show. And I'm going to turn things over to Dre. So Dre, please, how do the people follow your journey, the persevering through purpose journey? How do they get involved, volunteer, donate, all of those things? How do the people get in touch with you, man?
All right. Hold up. The screen had went out. So how to get in touch with me, man, you can reach me on, we actually have a website, www.perseveringthroughpurpose.com. You can reach me out on Instagram at Persevering Through Purpose, which is PereseveringThrough, through THROUGH, Purpose, PuRPOSE. And then it's the same for Facebook, Persevering Through Purpose as well. So you can reach me through any of those channels. And I'll get back to you, or on email, which is the same, Persevering Through Purpose. If you want to reach out directly, you can send us an email, send me an email, and I'll get back to you.
Is that email? Is that Gmail?
PerseveringThroughPurpose@gmail.com.
There it is. There it is, the one and only. No, thank you. Yeah, I don't even want to say shamelessly. I want you to selfishly plug away your next event as well.
Yes.
What's going on? Where's it happening?
So my next event will be on March 23rd, I think, whatever, that Saturday, March 23rd at 10:30 a.m. It's going to be downtown at Woodruff Park, which is downtown, down the street from the Underground, really, is right there. It'll be a feeding. So we're doing, for this feeding, I think I said chicken, baked beans, green beans, deviled eggs, macaroni and cheese, and some other couple things, desserts. So I don't have the list in front of me, but we're going to do that. And that's the next feed-in. But I do have a big proposal, actually, that I created. And it's so crazy how God works again. But I think it's a time and day for this. But I do have a proposal that I've created that I'm trying to get out to someone, which helps limit homelessness, right? So with this proposal, and I created it, and I kind of slept on it. And so it was a platform to create, to provide housing and more additional resources for the homeless. And I tried to first get started with Keisha Lance Bottoms. It couldn't get to her office, tried to get a contact with Mayor Andre and a couple other things. So I'm still trying to push to get that out there. So through this proposal is going to be some much larger events that I'm trying to do for the community, as well as provide additional housing. So I'm still looking forward to doing that this year sometime, even if I got to do it out of my own pocket. But it's coming. So the next, of course, event that's coming the closest is the Feed the Homeless, which is March 23rd. So if you want to come out and volunteer, man, if you have a heart of service, if you love to give back, and you want to serve some good hot cooked meals, or if you want to come and help cook, because I don't mind that either, because I'm always cooking the food anyway, or if you have a dish that you want to donate, however people want to do it, I appreciate all the assistance, because as a team, as we come together, I appreciate the team that's being built.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, man. Well, y'all heard it, right? Persevering Through Purpose, Instagram, Facebook, you know, their website as well, which is a very nice website and layout. Yep. You know, shoot him a DM. Yep. Right? He'll definitely get back to you. I know that for certain. So, you know, in that, any last remarks for you, just on anything, you know, a message to the people. I always like to just turn things over before I really shut things down here. So any last words from you
on today? Yeah. Well, first and foremost, thank you, Joe, man. I appreciate you for allowing me to be on this podcast and to share this platform alongside with you to share about my nonprofit organization. So I'm grateful for you. For anyone out there, I just want to thank you all for tuning in, and also to tell you not to give up. I know life can be hard. I know it can be tough, and we all have a dream. We all have a purpose, and whatever it may be, it was in your heart of hearts, go for it. Don't give up, because it's going to be far greater than what you ever imagined. It takes the seed to get a harvest. So you got to start somewhere. You got to water it. You got to keep going and allow it to grow to get to the next levels of life, because you never know who you may encounter on this journey, like great people like Joe, who I just met randomly at a kickback. You just never know who may you encounter and connect with that will help you build, and y'all can share alongside thoughts and help one another and get to the next stages of your life to be in a better position and to help more people than you ever could imagine. So if you're in this situation of being in a rut or being tough, you feeling confused, you don't know what you want to do, pray about it. Jot down your ideas, grow closely with the things that you love to do without even second guessing, second thought. Like, what are those things that you feel happy about? Or what do you do randomly that just soothes your soul or give you a peace of mind? I always tell people to start with that. But whatever it is, find your purpose. Don't give up. Keep going. It's going to be okay. It's going to be good. And it's going to be amazing for you and everyone attached to you. So I think those were my closing words.
Yeah, I mean, I might as well end it now, right? You know, you got me getting, I mean, I was an emotional man, and that, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
Bro, just to, again, to be in this space with you, I'm excited to see you soon, hopefully before the event.
Yeah, for sure.
23rd, but nah, it just, such beautiful things that are happening in the world that we have to continue to uplift one another and show and share. So thank you again. I'm you're gonna have a whole garden, right? That thank you again for who you are, your heart to serve, the golden heart to serve.
Yeah.
You know, fighting for what's right, and so many more things that you just continue to do. I pray that God continues to allow you to move forward and to impact and touch, you know, tenfold the lives that you already have. And I know you will.
For sure.
In that, everybody, I am your host, Joseph Dunham, Joe D. of course, always love having you all to the community that continues to build and grow with us. We're grateful for your loyalty, for your time to hear about all the great things that are going on in the world today. So thank you for coming back, for reposting, resharing, liking, subscribing, and following, and referring, right? Mm-hmm. This would not be possible without you all. So, of course, our DMs are open at the Good Service podcast, Instagram, wherever you are in the world. If you know of an individual in their organization that's making this a better place than what they founded, you got to let us know. I'll have to come find you if you know people in organizations and you're not letting
us know. Let them know.
of course, our email is, you know, thegoodservicepodcast@gmail.com. So again, another place to share referrals, comments, and ideas as well. We welcome all of those things. But with that, again, so grateful for each and every one of you. For our first time listeners, you know, we love you as well. Keep coming back. But with that, we'll say good night and be well.
All right. Good night.